Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com, Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Start 2024 with a new vehicle. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it up. Routine, difficult to handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it may be the holidays, but we still have Tuesdays with Neil. Sir, welcome.
As always, my pleasure to be here. Happy holidays to you guys as well.
Well, when they're singing Mason the Red-Nosed Reindeer, he must have done something right.
The one time that he did, yes.
Yeah. This is one bizarre season, isn't it? I mean, the whole thing's bizarre.
In comparison to the last couple years, we really should view it as kind of par for the course. I mean, it's almost like a running show now. What are they going to do for a fourth season? Well, let's jump between quarterbacks, and we'll make the quarterback that is literally only on the roster because the NFL expanded the rule to allow an emergency quarterback, and we'll make him perform the best of anybody this season and earn a second start.
Yeah.
It's not even so much surprising at this point, but at a 10,000-foot level, I don't know if anything that we have talked about with this team is any less true, and I don't know that we aren't overlooking the success that they have had. Maybe, and this is crazy, but maybe they just don't know how to pick a quarterback. And that's really kind of the root of all of this. Maybe this is something that was covered up with outstanding to decent play from Ben Roethlisberger, even at the end. We've seen positive games from Mason Rudolph before. We've seen bad games from Mason Rudolph. We've seen positive games from Kenny Pickett. Seen bad games. Mitch Trubisky, I think there was some decent play in there. It stretches at times. He was towing on mediocre there. Either way, it's obvious that Trubisky is done. Giving Rudolph a second start and announcing it this early in the week strongly suggests that they were as impressed with his performance as analysts and fans were. They got stuff done. They made plays, which is not really something that they've done. In my mind, it was really you had to. What that means for Pickett, not entirely sure, but we shouldn't be surprised at a 10,000-foot level that the season might wrap up with the most mild quarterback controversy in the NFL. I think it might end up with that as well. You know, wouldn't surprise me. Not to suggest that I have full confidence that Rudolph can go into Seattle facing a very similar Seahawks team to the Steelers and put up the same type of performance he did, because in fairness, Cincinnati did not play a good game. Defensively, they were a mess. That was really, really bad. I don't know if he's going to do the same thing, but if he pulls out a win, the playoffs are going to be on the line. That next week with Baltimore, looks like they're all but clinching the top seed in the playoffs. So it might be a must-win game for Pittsburgh. It might not be incredibly important for Baltimore, but they're probably going to play their guys. So you might need to put your best out there and let it rip. But as we've seen, everything can change, and it probably will between now and this time next week. Yeah.
Well, I want to get to quarterbacks in two different veins. I'll get to Lamar Jackson in a moment. But the Patriots and the Steelers are two teams that defied the NFL system by being relevant at or near the top of their division or in the conference for 15 to 20 years. That's not how the NFL is supposed to work. It also is no coincidence that Brady and Roethlisberger were there for a long time. The Steelers have not had to evaluate a quarterback for a draft in almost 20 years. Is this part of the problem? The same thing with Patriots. The Patriots did not have to evaluate a quarterback for the draft for 20 years. What kind of problem is that when it's a process that you're not really used to every 5 to 7 years?
You know, there are two things in there that I think is important. We cannot say, based on their comments, that they are very confident with the quarterbacks that they've brought in, four of them who have played. They're very confident in them. Maybe they're given the song and dance, which is to say, yes, they are, but we can't go off much beyond what they're telling us and beyond what we see. If they're confident in those quarterbacks, they're missing the evaluation piece of it. But, and this is what is ultimately, to me, what it really comes down to, that operates under the assumption that you automatically missed out on a really good quarterback at some point. And while, in a literal sense, when there's a great quarterback available in round five who lights the league up, yes, you missed out on a quarterback. But by and large, it just isn't to act as if there's an infinite supply of high-level quarterbacks is just simply not true. And we all know that. Kevin Colbert's comment that we saw Mason Rudolph as a first-round pick, everybody wants to jump all over that. It's really interesting to me because they didn't take him in the first round or the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they had chances to take Mason Rudolph, this first-round prospect, but they didn't take him. So how much do you believe that that's how they felt of him? Looking around the league, you see the level of play at the quarterback position. This year, probably more than any, because it seems like there's a backup playing in every game now. You're not finding many of them who are capable of being outstanding for most of your 17 games. I thought Patrick Mahomes played pretty well yesterday. I thought he played very poorly in a lot of situations. And I saw Lamar Jackson play maybe the best game he's ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Lamar Jackson not play well a couple times this season.
Yep, that's right.
Jackson's probably the MVP of the league. I think the level, the standard that was set by Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, go on and on, we had what I think we're going to see is a golden era of quarterbacks. And there just aren't those quarterbacks right now. I don't think that they are good enough to put a team on their back and run for as long as they've the season takes them, which is what we're used to, you know. We're not 100% sold on Baltimore up and down, although they, mm-hmm. they played very well last night. I definitely would see them as a favorite, but would it be shocking if, say, Buffalo beat them? Now, the darling quarterback used to be Josh Allen. He didn't right. keep it going. They're having to fight from the outside in. These are quarterbacks that, in Allen's case, required both extra capital to move up and get and a bad season to get by the Bills. The Chiefs had a good season. They gave up a boatload of capital to move up to get Mahomes, incidentally, right. with Buffalo. Jackson was taken 32nd overall. The Ravens took somebody else in the first right. round before they traded back to get Jackson.
Right.
So there are multiple ways to do this, but it's not what you have to give up. It's the quarterback. Because we've seen, I think it's, I don't have it in front of me, but it's really interesting that the complete lack of success with the second overall pick being used on a quarterback and the amount of capital that's being given up. Teams drafting second and taking a quarterback isn't all that common. It's certainly not in comparison to the amount of number two overall picks that are being made on quarterback. Teams are trading up to that spot to get a guy, and they're not doing particularly well overall. It's really hard to be a successful quarterback. And it takes more than just where you are in the draft. It takes more than just who you can sign in free agency. There's just a ton of things that go into it, and all of those things need to be firing at once. And this is something I would have said about Philadelphia, but what's happened to them? You know, right. I just think Tom Brady, to some degree, I think is correct. I think it's not as disciplined a game as it was 5-10 years ago.
Yep.
It's not a question of talent. I think that the teams just aren't as good. They can win games, but they're flawed. Who's the best team in the NFL right now? Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to make that determination. And really, that's what should happen in the NFL, in the evolution of the NFL. They want it to be parity-driven. They want an equal footing, more or less. You know, they want 26 of 32 teams to be relatively competitive amongst each other, and they are. It's just we're used to seeing the dominant team put up huge numbers and just boat race somebody on a week-to-week basis, and that just doesn't happen. To some degree, that's because I don't feel the quarterback talent is as high, and to some degree, it's a lack of that quarterback level rising the way that it has in the recent past. And teams have built themselves to be very quarterback heavy, and they don't have a good quarterback, so they're not doing much. I almost feel like the Steelers are the perfect example of this, because they've won 8 games for each of the last 17 seasons, but the last 5 have been with below standard quarterback play. They found a way to win games mm-hmm. despite that. Now, they haven't had any other success, and maybe that's because of the quarterback. In fact, I'd argue that it is. Mm-hmm. But they're not overall, their teams are just not as good as we've seen the top teams of the past be. And I think people are really starting to feel that, even if they're not being able to put it into those words.
A point I've made before, and probably going back a year I made before, but it's worth revisiting. When the Ravens beat the 49ers, the Ravens went to 19-1 against NFC teams with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. The one loss was to the Giants a year ago at MetLife, and the Giants were a playoff team that advanced last year. That was the game where Barkley at the end did the hook slide at the 1-yard line to run the clock out. And part of this, at least my theory is, Neil, the reason that AFC North teams have success against the Ravens is they're used to seeing how Jackson plays the game. He's still greatly skilled, but they're used to seeing how he plays it. They know how to defend it. When you only see it once every 4 years, you struggle with it. And that, I think that's why they're 19-1 against the NFC. They don't see him that often.
Yeah, I mean, whatever the real answer of that is, there's absolutely no way that's not a very strong factor. I would say this. The AFC North teams aren't blinking anymore. I remember when Jackson did his last MVP year, there was a play in which I want to say this was against the Jets. Sadly, initially I thought it was the Giants, but I remember that hook slide game. That wasn't the one I'm thinking of. I think it was against the Jets, but Jackson's going to the sideline. He's running down the sideline, and a Jets safety totally held up. And almost like he put out his arms to like brace him, like, Lamar, I can't touch you. I don't want to touch you. I'm so in awe of you. And Lamar just blew through his arms and went for another like 12 yards.
Right.
Guys didn't hit him. They were lining up in droves to get his jersey after the game. It's like, yep. This is kind of embarrassing, you guys. He's a great player. In my opinion, he's a Hall of Fame player. He's not a deity. You know, you're there to hit him. You need to you know, compete to help your team win the games. One team I know for certain has not approached him like that has been the Steelers. Look at the success that they've had. And Baltimore's been the better team for the last 3 years. Yep. Baltimore can't beat him. I do think there is a certain level of awe, and the hype comes with it. You know, people were beside themselves last night.
I saw Jackson the same play. Thing, Neil. He'd get near the sideline against the 49ers. They all backed off, and then they pat him on the helmet. All the, like,
exactly.
What are we doing?
Exactly. They want to get in with the extreme superstar, you know. And it's you can't play him like that for obvious reasons, because what I've said this a lot in the past. One of the genius things that the Ravens did, and it was under Greg Roman initially, and they're continuing it under Todd Monken now, but they taught Lamar how to work angles, and they really got it into his head to live for another down. When you need to go down, go down. That's your job. And yep. they ran a lot of stuff that first year. They ran a lot of stuff toward the sideline. They flowed him toward the sideline and gave him easy exits. You know, the big plays he made, he'd bust through a gap and cut back and make somebody look silly and go for 60 yards. But by and large, he chipped away at you. He became such a weapon because you could give him one read and he can escape. They're not going to keep up with him step for step. But he didn't try for more. So he didn't turn the ball over as much as the average running quarterback who carries as much, carries at that level does. He'd get out of bounds. He didn't get tackled very often. Right. Last night, that was the big thing for me. He was back to that. He was doing the same types of stuff. San Francisco either missed him or never got a clean hit on him. And a lot of it, I've always wondered how much of this is star power on the field. They're afraid to hit him. And I get that there are penalties involved, but he's a runner in the open field. If he's not going down, I don't understand why you're holding up so much. You know, if there is one guy in the league you know is going to run the ball, it's him. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's a part of it, just the awe that he brings. And he's a historical player. There's no doubt about that.
Right. But if Brock Purdy's going to the sideline, they're going to nail him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. They don't have any respect for Brock Purdy at all. And the Ravens didn't last night and gave him, you know, what I would imagine will be the worst game of his career, regardless of how his career ends. He can't do a lot worse than what he did last night. And Jackson was excellent. You know, when you have a player that can dominate the game to that level and then put a fantastic defense on top of it, and this is usually where we get into this mess. The MVP, sure, is Lamar Jackson, but let's not discount how good Baltimore's defense is in what should be a more high-level offensive game in the NFL. They are flat-out destroying teams defensively. It's really, really hard to move the ball on them. And they're not like a power-stacked unit. They've got a lot of very good players, but they're all really good, and they're deep, and they're being coached up very well. Lamar is going to get the headlines, and rightfully so, but man, that defense is tough. I don't know how people are going to score on them, and maybe that's really the challenge that they face, but Lamar can play with a lot more freedom and control the ball, control the clock. He made good decisions last night, didn't hit every throw, but made good decisions, and you know, I don't think he even really put all that much effort in. It just steamrolled the team. That I don't know what was wrong with San Francisco's defense last night. Just a terrible game from them, and a lot of it, in my opinion, is just that's what Jackson can do to you if you're not able to contain him.
And then the other part, too, is that you know the secondary's played well for Baltimore. They can rush the passer. But Smith and Queen, those two linebackers, right? In a world where it seems like linebackers are de-emphasized, those two wreak havoc all over the field, and everybody would like to have them just like everybody would like to have the combination of Warder and Greenlaw.
Yeah, when you have to pay for that, it's a different story, and you have to have a defense that needs to emphasize them on three downs, and that's what they do. They don't the Ravens don't play dime very often. But I would say this. What helps with all of that is the value you get in Kyle Hamilton. I think Kyle Hamilton's the best player on that defense.
Really good.
He's everywhere. Very smart player. They can use him at 2-3 levels even. It's similar to what the Steelers do with Minka Fitzpatrick. But Hamilton's a more physical player. He's getting to the ball at a high rate. And you're seeing, you know, the opportunistic value of being at the right place at the right time. And the value of that for that defense is huge. But having that middle solidified, you know, two linebackers with a safety behind it, it forces everything into certain areas, and everybody else knows where that's going. Then it's a built-in cheat code. You know that you can suffocate a team with a lot more success. Now I thought San Francisco would be kind of an antidote to that, but they got enough pressure on Purdy that they couldn't exploit the flats where they don't really have the athletes to keep up with a guy in the short space like McCaffrey, and use Kittle to get down the seam to occupy where their strength is. I don't think they really got out of the garage. They got just destroyed in the second half. That didn't help, but it wasn't a great game from San Francisco overall, but Baltimore forces opponents into those kinds of games, and that's why you see them, you know, whipping the better teams in the game when they play. And if they've got Miami next week, I feel like that game's going to be 50-3, and I'm not sure which team it's going to be, but one of them is going to figure the other one out, and it's going to be a pretty one-sided game.
Yeah, the last time I saw a quarterback get the kick glove treatment of respect from a defense was when Michael Vick was at Virginia Tech. He's running down the sideline against West Virginia. And, of course, what's the one thing that you can't do? You can't hit him out of bounds, right? So West Virginia, he gets near the sideline, acts like he's going out, and they backed off because they didn't want a penalty. And then, boom, he took off, got 25 yards more. I feel like I'm seeing this on a pro level with Jackson. It's like, hey, that's Lamar. Like, just make sure we didn't. I don't want to be the guy that hurts him. Okay.
If you have to hold up to a large degree, and yes, you do, but he's out of the pocket. If he's running square down the field, you're hitting him like you would. You have to you know, kind of in a way brace for his slide. But it's not as if it's impossible if you're looking at him. You know, when you put your head down and ram it into his chest, right. Yeah, you're going to get stuck with that. If he's going to the sideline, yes, but you can, you know, shield the escape route toward the sideline and force him to go out of bounds without having to hit him out of bounds.
Yep.
That's what they're coaching the players to do. They seem to forget that in the heat of the battle, though, and that's where the problem lies. It, compound that with the fact that this is Lamar. You know, I've got to, you know, I need to pay homage to, you know, one of the most electric players ever to set foot on the field, which is what I thought of when I saw Michael Vick play. And going back to that, I think you're exactly right. The Virginia Tech stuff, they did not see a guy like him. You know, there was nobody like Vick. And you would know this better than me, but his memory serves me. It's not even like Virginia Tech was all that good. That's how dominant Michael Vick was at that level.
That's right.
To see that now is kind of funny in a way, because this is the generation that came out with Vick at his, you know, height, when they were reaching, you know, 8, 9 years old, whatever it was. Vick is dominant. They're getting a lot of the evolution of the game from him. And Jackson is a better version of that. He's a better runner. He's a better passer. With more mobile quarterbacks, certainly at the college level, but plenty of them in the NFL as well, you should be more used to that, is all I'm really saying. You know, don't pick up penalties, but I don't know how many guys even hit Jackson. You know, I really don't think it doesn't feel like he gets tackled very often. He gets sacked, but when he's in the open field, he knows exactly when to go down. Mm-hmm. He knows when to get out of bounds. Yep. So you're playing up to the point where he has to make one of those decisions. And I think the hesitance that they display is shown right before he's going to make that decision. Lamar has that kind of last second sense when to go down, when to get out of bounds, and he's making the defenders make that decision of when he's going to do it, and a lot of them don't.
Well, Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you guys as well.
We will talk next Tuesday.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Kuwan joining us on the show. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.